Now, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 17. And we will finish chapter 17 this evening. 2 Kings 17, we're reading starting in verse 24, and we are reading through the end, verse 41. 2 Kings 17, starting in verse 24. These are the words of the Lord. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Ava and from Hamath and Sepharvaim and settled them in the cities of Samaria in place of the sons of Israel. So they possessed Samaria and lived in its cities. At the beginning of their living there, they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, "The nations whom you have carried away into exile in the cities of Samaria do not know the custom of the God of the land." So he has sent lions among them. And behold, they kill them, because they do not know the custom of the gods of the land. And the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Take there one of the priests whom you carried away into exile, and let him go and live there. And let him teach them the custom of the God of the land." So one of the priests whom they had carried away into exile from Samaria came and lived in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. But every nation still made gods of its own, put them in the houses of the high places which the people of Samaria had made, every nation in their cities in which they lived. The men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth. The men of Cuth made Nergal. The men of Hamath made Ashima. And the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They also feared the Lord and appointed from among themselves priests of the high places, who acted for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, and according to the custom of the nations from among whom they had been carried away into exile. To this day, they do according to the earlier customs. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law or the commandments which the Lord commanded the sons of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord made a covenant and commanded them, saying, "You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, and to him you shall bow yourselves down, and to him you shall sacrifice." The statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forever, and you shall not fear other gods. The covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. However, they did not listen, but they did according to their earlier custom. So while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols, their children likewise, and their grandchildren, as their fathers did. So they do to this day. And those are the words of the Lord. Israel, the northern kingdom, is in exile. That was the beginning of chapter 17. As those exiles were taken away, their cities were filled with foreigners. And Samaria, new residents came from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim. And so that land of the northern kingdom is now populated with, without any doubt, with pagans. They don't care about Yahweh at all. They did not fear him. And so he sent lions among them and killed some of them. And that leads them to come to the Assyrian king. And the Assyrians, the king... has a priest of Israel, the northern kingdom, the priest to go and teach the pagans how to fear Yahweh. Now what was really at work was the question, at least for them, how do we get these lions to stop killing people? They weren't worshiping God. They were just doing anything so that no one would die. No one else would die. The question for them, if they would worship, quote-unquote, worship Yahweh or not, was, will this work to avoid discomfort and ward off disaster? And yet, even as the priest taught them in verse 29 and following, surely he was not a very good priest, for he was of the northern kingdom, they still worshiped their own gods. And so verse 33 is a summary. They feared the Lord. That might be in quotes, they feared the Lord, and served their own gods according to the custom of the nations from among whom they had carried away into exile. These pagans were pretty creative, weren't they? And this same type of creativity is happening all over in our world and in the Church of Jesus Christ, as it has to do with worship in general and how to have a comfortable life and an enjoyable life. And as you look at the actions of verse 33, they stand in contradiction to the very truth of verse 34. They feared Yahweh, verse 33 it says, and that is rather that verses 25 to 33 drip with irony, because we know they really didn't fear Yahweh. And so the truth is told us in verse 34, they do not fear Yahweh, nor did they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law or the commandments which the Lord commanded the sons of Jacob, whom he names Israel. And following that, we have verses 35 to 39. The Lord takes us back to the Exodus. He rehearses the terms of the covenant he made with Israel. That covenant was very clear, only full and exclusive devotion to Yahweh. They must not bow down, serve, and sacrifice to other gods. Three times he reminds them of what the covenant said. You shall not fear other gods. Verse 35, 37, and 38. Yahweh demands that he himself is worshipped exclusively. But Israel's response back in the Exodus, verse 40, however, they did not listen, but they did according to their earlier custom. And that's the same applies to these people, these foreigners who have come into the land. Now, they had a Yahweh plus religion, not a Yahweh-only religion, just like Israel. And when we get to the last verse, we're back with very specifically the foreign nations back in the time that this was written. It breathes an air of hopelessness for the land of Israel. And so here is Israel itself, the people in exile, and yet even for the very land that they're on, there is a hopelessness about it. Here's the religion that is the same of this world. If you worship anyone, serve anyone other than the Lord Yahweh alone, you will be condemned. That's for you, beloved. Same for you. If you worship anyone, serve anyone other than Yahweh alone, you will be condemned. Let's pray. Our Father, we confess that we are sinners, that we have broken your commandments, that we have not feared you, Yahweh, as we ought. In fact, we have gone off after other gods, the gods of this world, the gods of works, religion, the God of materialism, and many other gods. We have not loved you alone. We have worshipped other gods, not worshipped you rightly. We've, even in this time so far this evening, in our thoughts, words, or deeds, we have not worshipped you according to your commandments. We've thought, been distracted, thought about things of this world. And thus we have taken your name in vain. We've talked loosely about who you are and what you've done. We have not acted in accordance with as what becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. We have broken this Lord's Day. We've not remembered the Sabbath day as we ought to. We've thought about our work and our workplaces, and perhaps even how we've rather wanted to play with toys and entertain ourselves rather than worshiping you alone and delighting in you alone. We have failed to honor our fathers and mothers. We've disobeyed them. We have not respected and honored those in authority over us, nor done the same for those under us. Father, we have hated people. We've had bitterness in our hearts and other sins dealing with the sixth commandment. We've lusted towards other women, other men, even lusted after things, and so we've coveted the tenth commandment. We've wanted things that we cannot have, even that which is our neighbor's. We've stolen from you. Perhaps even we've stolen from one another. And we have lied, or we have not told the truth completely. We've told white lies. We've not told the story as it actually happened, but we've exaggerated it or made it up. Father, forgive us of our sins. Turn us from these things. Cause us to worship you alone. Cause us to serve you alone. And live holy lives in Christ Jesus for you alone. Father, grow us in mourning and being sorrowful over our sin. And cause us to truly repent of it, turning from them unto you, the merciful God. Father, cause us to see your mercy and grace. And let us not dishonor you in how we respond to that, but give great thanksgiving and praise unto your name, that you would be given all glory. We know that you work and are working all things together for the good of us, your people. And how we respond to that, let us not drive you to anger towards us. And Father, if we do that, when we do that, Father, see the righteousness of your Son. See that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See that nothing separates your people from the love, your love in Christ Jesus. Turn us from our sin unto you, so we can serve a holy, living, and true God. These things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.